I had a, I've shared this here before, but it was a man of God who was, I've mentioned him several times, Dr. Buskey. And he always says, if I teach, I can teach all day. He says, when I share on a Sunday morning, I keep it to 30 minutes. He says, no one comes on Sunday morning to hear a long lecture. And I actually agree with that most of the time. So I always do keep my messages short, and this one may be even shorter than what I usually do. But I want to look at Psalms again. Psalm chapter 40. And I shared last week on the Psalms of the Ascent, and that was how in Psalms 121, and those were Psalms, how Jerusalem would read them. There was 15 Psalms, and even up going to the temple steps, they would sing one of these on each step. They would sing to them as they would go to the different feasts there in Jerusalem. And I shared this too, our journey with God, God's just as interested in our journey as our destination.
Amen.
And that is so true, and I'm seeing that more and more in my life. I'm seeing it more and more in the life of others. I love the story of Joseph. I mentioned this last week as well. You know, Joseph had a dream. God had promised him great things, and he found himself as a slave. And what future does a slave have? He has none. He found himself in a pit, and I believe he kept holding on. Lord, what about that word you gave me? What about that promise? And I don't believe Joseph became a success when he set up number two in the kingdom of Egypt. I believe he was a success when he was a slave.
Yes.
When he was in the pit. And when everything was going against him and his heart was still right. He didn't cast the blame on his brothers. He didn't cast the blame on Potiphar's wife when it was their faults. He just kept moving and moving, and he was the best slave he could possibly be. And God elevated him.
Yeah.
And all things do work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purposes. And so God is very interested, as Eugene Peterson said, he made the statement that we're not just disciples, we are disciples, but we're also pilgrims, and we're on a journey with God. So as I said, enjoy the journey, enjoy your walk with God, enjoy what he's doing in your life, what he's done in your life, enjoy what he's going to do in your life, and that's so great about the Psalms. So there's so many Psalms, like I said, I'm not going to go through all of them, but there's Psalms of gratitude, there's Psalms of ascent, there's Psalms of prayer, Psalms of rest. What I decided to do is go through and do one of each. And so I did the Psalms of the Ascent last week. I'm going to do a Psalm of Gratitude this week, where it's known as a Psalm of Thanksgiving. And it's in Psalms chapter 40. And as I said, I was in here this morning last night. I said, boy, this is very short, but I think it's going to be good. I hope I can articulate what the Lord's downloaded within my spirit. So if we read Psalms chapter 40. I'm just going to read verse 1 through 4. That's all I'm going to do. It says, I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock. And he established my steps. He's put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man who makes the Lord his trust. That's so good. And does not respect the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. I have a translation, and it's the Passion Translation. Brian Simmons put it together. Brian Simmons used to pastor Gateway Church in West Haven. And I like it. It's not like the Message. It's not like a commentary almost. It's a translation, and it's very readable. If you have this, remember Tom Worth said, tip from Tom? Well, this is a tip from Clay. Read the Psalms and the Passion. They're prayers. They're so readable. They're just, oh, like I was oozing out of me. So I want to read these verses in the Passion Translation. I waited and waited and waited some more. Patiently. I get an amen for that. I waited and I waited and I waited some more. Patiently, knowing God would come through for me. Amen. Then at last, he bent down and listened to my cry. You imagine being in that place. This is a Psalm of David. It's a messianic psalm as well. So it speaks of Christ, but it's also a psalm David gave. It said, he stooped down to lift me out of danger from the desolate pit I was in. I have the muddy mess I've fallen into. I remember when I was in, that was probably Owen's age. I went to the beach. We used to go to the beach every summer. My family and my cousin, who was older than me, pushed me in a briar patch. And I remember I had briars sticking all in me, and they said, "Well, sit down, Clay." So I sat down. I had one right where I sat. I was like, "Ow!" And I shot up. And sometimes we can kind of sit in those places, like the muddy mess I'd fallen into or the briar patch you'd fallen into. And now he's lifted me up into a firm, secure place. Amen. And steadied me while I walk along his ascending path. A new song, which I'm just going to talk about primarily later. A new song for a new day rises up in me. Every time I think about how he breaks through for me, ecstatic praise pours from my mouth until everyone hears how God has set me free. Many will see his miracles. They'll stand in awe of God and fall in love with him. And isn't that what it's all about?
Amen.
That God does something in our lives. It puts a new song within us, so many will see and fear and put their trust not in me or you or what God's doing through me, but in him. And I say, if he can do it through me, he can do it through you. He can do it through anyone. And it doesn't, you know, it's like the gift. If I get, if I buy Maurice a new BMW, it says nothing about Maurice. It says everything about me. And it's just like God. If he does something to me, thank me in advance, yes. If he does something for me, it says nothing about me. It says everything about him. And that's what it's all about, that Jesus would get the honor and the glory. And so I love this because in the original language, which Brian Simmons does for this, the original mood of it describes, and I looked at this, it means I waited and I waited. And it suggests that the writer, David, was not very good at waiting. Again, sometimes I'm not very good at waiting. Spurgeon made this statement. He said, and this, Spurgeon was those of you who don't know Charles Spurgeon, is known as Prince of Preachers. A long time ago, he's gone to be with the Lord many, many years ago. But he says, "Think ye, brethren, might it not read, I waited impatiently for the Lord," in the case of most of us. And sometimes I've waited impatiently for the Lord. And so there's a Isaiah 64. Let me just read this to you. You don't have to turn there, but Isaiah 64, chapter 4, says this. "For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, nor has the eye seen any God besides you who acts." In Hebrew, that word is works. I'm going to use works. "Who works for the one who waits for him." He works when we wait. Paul translates this in Corinthians, "who acts for the one who loves him." So I say those who wait for him love him, and he works for those who wait for him. And there's a whole teaching I can do on waiting for the Lord, and you can interpret that in different ways. Here's what I want to say, is that sometimes I can say it in my life, you can say it in your life, there's been seasons, there's been times, I can say it in our nation for the past year, where things can be shot at you, and Lord, you're like the psalmist here, I waited patiently, I waited and waited and I waited and I waited, and I'm waiting impatiently, I'm waiting and I'm waiting. I honestly believe this, and I've seen it in my life, that in the waiting, as it says in Isaiah 64, that's God's workhouse, where I'm waiting from him. Lord, I don't see that promise yet, but I know you've called me. Your promise is you're going to bring me out of the horrible pit and the miry clay and set my feet upon the rock. And it's in that waiting moment, and this has been a theme that the Lord's put in my heart for many weeks now, and I think we need it. It's in that waiting that he does his best work. He does his deepest dealings within our heart to make us more like Christ. Because at the end of the day, this was a messianic psalm. It's quoted in Hebrews, and it speaks of Christ. Imagine him in the garden. "Oh, Lord, take this cup from me, but not my will, but yours be done." Imagine knowing what he was going to go through and everything. So, Lord, it's in those moments that God does, and he does, and he does, and he does. And oftentimes we have these deals in our life. But in that, and what I want to get to, is this. It's not going to be long, but it says, "He's put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God." There's a quote by a man, his last name is Morgan, and it says this, "The suffering servant always become the singing ones. For as the secret of song is ever that of waiting for God, doing the will of God, And in through suffering, the result is always deliverance and the issue of a song. I'm going to read that one more time. And I'll say it's not even necessarily suffering. I'll just say maybe it's, Lord, you've put something here. I'm waiting for you. The suffering servant of God always becomes the singing one. And actually, this is for someone suffering too. And maybe you're not here, maybe you're watching, but this is the Lord for you. The suffering servant of God always becomes the singing one. So if you're suffering now, the word of the Lord to you is you're going to be singing.
Amen.
And God is putting a new song in your heart.
Amen.
For as the secret of song is ever that of waiting for God. Lord, I'm waiting, doing the will of God, in and through suffering. The result is always deliverance in the issue of song. Amen. God's doing and putting a new song within our hearts. I was in here on Tuesday night, and one of my favorite times, my favorite hour of the week, is we have prayer Tuesday nights. You know, some of you guys come, and I always enjoy those. It's always a different mix each time, and I love it. I'm a big believer in physical gatherings, because when you mix the body of Christ together, there's a unique expression when we seek God together. And each prayer meeting I find on Tuesdays has its own distinction. And I always come in here from 5 to 6, and that's just going to be me and the Lord in here. And it's one of my times I have when I'm up here praying. And I'm a bit of a sentimentalist, so I like new songs, but I do like old songs too. And so there's the old guy, Don Mullen.
Amen.
From back in the, amen, yes. Back when I was Evan's age, and he has some good songs, and you can pull up his whole album. And so this old saying, we used to do it at my church, and I will celebrate singing to the Lord. I will sing to him a new song. If I could sing, I would sing it, because I love it. I was singing in here, and I was having an amazing time with the Lord up here, you know, dancing before the Lord and singing and you know, making a joyful sound. You should better say that than a good sound, a joyful sound. And when I say, I'll sing to you a new song, it just pierced me in my spirit. Just, that's what I'm doing. And me, he's doing it in his church, he's doing it in his people, because the fact of the matter and the reality of the situation is that everybody, I think everybody, to some degree or another, especially if you live in America, especially if you're in the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the past year, you could say, hey, Lord, you're doing things, and we're waiting, and we want this, we want that, we want this, we want that. And I believe those who are responding and are allowing the Lord to set up workshop in my heart in the waiting, there's a new song that's being birthed. And even if you look at revivals, the history of, probably one of my favorite subjects is the Tabernacle of David. And if you study through Scripture, whenever there was a restoration or a renewal revival, they instituted worship in the order of the Tabernacle of David.
Yeah.
If you study contemporary revivals, there's always a song that comes forth out of revivals when songs are birthed. Different movements throughout church history, there's different songs. And I would say for a song, not so much, Lord, I'm going to write this song to you because I have no musical ability whatsoever. But it can be a song in my life. It's a new song in my life. It doesn't mean I have to move to Timbuktu to experience it. I can experience it right here in Stonington, Connecticut. That God, you're doing a new song in me, and there's something you're doing in me that I'm sensing and feeling. And it's going to put forth praise that many will see and hear and put their trust in the Lord because what you're doing in me right now. And there is a place, hey, I can be in a horrible pit. I know there's people, you know, in our church who, you know, 2020's hit them harder than others. And that's okay. And for you, those individuals, you might be in a miry pit. But again, the strong word of the Lord for you is he's putting a new song in you.
Amen.
Do not grow weary in well-doing.
Yes.
Continue. Even if, you know, when we were doing Nehemiah several months ago, I've had prayers where all I can get out is, God, help me.
Yeah.
And that was Nehemiah. I don't have I can't go in tongues for an hour. I can't rattle something eloquent. I can't even, God, help me. And just leave it at that. And I know God's pleased with that. God, help me. And so if that is you, just keep saying, God, just help me. Because you're putting a new song in me.
Yeah.
whether I see it or not, whether I know it or not. Yeah. I've been through things in my life, and all of us have. If you live life any period of time, when God's taken me through places and areas where I couldn't possibly see a solution, I can't possibly see an answer, I can't possibly see a way through, and yet somehow He does it. And I told you recently, I was in my prayer journal and I was writing through. And I love prayer journals. I always put plugs in for those because you can see God throughout the years. And I say mine reads like the Psalms, because one day I'm here, next day I'm down here, next day I'm over here. And I wrote something. I said, Lord, as I was reading through this, you put this in place in a way I could have never concocted it or dreamt of it myself. And sometimes I struggle with, as Spurgeon said, you know, the fruit of the Spirit is not restlessness. It's patience. It's not frustration. It's patience. So I say, Lord, I'm restless with this. I'm frustrated with this. But that's not my portion as a son of God. So, Lord, I need more expression of patience. Lord, You're inside of me. You are the patient one. You are the one who is not restless. So, Lord, that should be the dominant thing in my heart and my life. So I just commit that to You, that Christ would come forth from me more than He has before. And you know, the phrase, those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God, become more and more and more real to me. Because I can either follow Him in my heart, or I can follow everything that's going on around me. It's right. Hitting me from the outside. What governs me?
Right.
He governs me, or heaven governs me. Someone's governing me. It's either Jesus or it's the world, or what's going on in the world. So I want to look at something, because different psalms, let me go to these. When it talks about a new psalm, and I'm actually going to read these here in the Passion Translation. I'm going to read just portions of those. And I read chapter 40, verse 3. A new song for a new day rises up within me. Do you know we are new creations in Christ Jesus, not stale ones? And so God's always doing something new in me if I'm letting Him do it. And if I see that, you know, one of the worst things we get in is when, Lord, so I'm a sentimentalist with my worship music. So one of the worst things I can do is, Lord, I just want to go back to that. Well, no, God's doing something new right now. He's doing something new in me. And you know what? He's doing something new in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ as well. And it's very important that we see that and that we get ahead of that and walk with the Lord. In Psalm 96, you don't have to turn there. I'm just going to read these in the Passion. In Psalm 96, verse 1 through 2, says this, go ahead, sing your new song to the Lord. Let everyone in every language sing to Him a new song. Don't stop, keep on singing. Make His name famous. Tell everyone every day how wonderful He is. Give them the good news of our great Savior. Isn't this what it's all about?
Amen.
Take the message of His glory and miracles to every nation. Amen. Tell them about the amazing things He has done. You see how a new song is connected there? A new song. Let everyone in every nation sing Him a new song. Don't stop, keep on singing. Lord, You've done this in my life. I want people to know about it. We have that testimony thing up there for a reason. And I know Wilbur shared even more with me that we've had good things God's doing. It's a new song. Lord, You've carried me through this situation in my life so I can tell someone else, 'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus just to take Him at His word. Psalm 98, 1 through 2. Go ahead, sing, and this is the Passion Translation. Go ahead, sing your brand new song to the Lord. He is famous for His miracles and marvels. For He is victorious through His mighty power and holy strength. Amen. Everyone knows how God has saved us, for He has displayed His justice throughout history. Amen. I think he's trying to mask my masker. My son was barricading Anna with a mask. All right, Psalm 144, 9 through 10. My God, I will sing You a brand new song. I love this. The heart inside my heart will make music to You. I love that. And that's hope for someone again like me or you if you can't sing. The heart inside my heart will make music to You. I will sing I will sing of you, the one who gives victory to kings, the one who rescues David, your loving servant, from the fatal sword. Psalms 149, 1 through 2, says this. This is my last one I'm going to read. Others, but it's the last one I'm going to read. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. It's time to sing to God a brand new song, so that all his holy people will hear how wonderful he is. May Israel be enthused with joy because of him. And may the sons of Zion pour out their joyful praises to their king. I'm going to do verse 3 too. Break forth with dancing. Make music and sing praises with the rhythm of drums. I'm just going to read the rest of this psalm just because it's good to read scripture publicly. Amen. That's biblical and I like this. For he enjoys his faithful lovers. He adorns the humble with his beauty, and he loves to give them the victory. His godly lovers triumph in the glory of God, and their joyful praises will rise even while others sleep. God's high and holy praises fill their mouth, for their shouted praises are their weapons of war. These warring weapons will bring vengeance on every opposing force and every resisting power. You know your songs? Even practically, I've ministered this many times here before. One of the greatest ways of warfare is through worship. And I always give in 2 Chronicles 20, when they're getting ready to war, it says that they sent out the worshipers first. And as they went out and they worshiped, God broke through and destroyed the enemy. There's power in worship. There's power in singing and declaring the character, the goodness, the nature of Jesus Christ. That he alone is exalted. And so this, in Psalm 149, sing of a new song in light of the victory and the warring nature of God. These warring weapons will bring vengeance on every opposing force and every resistant power, to bind kings with chains and rulers with iron shackles. Praise-filled warriors will enforce the judgment doom decreed against their enemies. This is the glorious honor he gives to all his godly lovers. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. I love that. That's so good. And so God's doing a new song. I was reading this week. Let me just elaborate a bit more. This week, if you're doing your Bible reading in Exodus, after they crossed the Red Sea, what did Moses do? He wrote the Song of Moses in Exodus chapter 15. They started worshiping. Miriam also had a song. They started worshiping. Look at Jesus the night before he went. He said they sang hymns together. Last Supper there. What did Paul and Silas do in prison? In bad situation. They sang. They made a song that God was doing in their hearts and in their lives. Habakkuk, it does this as well. And so, I'm going to wrap up with a couple of things. And then we're going to take communion. I was listening to a guy this week. And I've grown to really respect him. I endorse him. And the name of his church is actually New Song Church as well. Colorado. And his dad was John Sanford, who was one of the pioneers of the inner healing movement. You familiar? And Lauren Sanford's his name. I've grown in the past couple months to highly, really respect him. And he was sharing some things that I'm not going to share all that he shared. I don't know that's relevant for right now. But it was very pertinent, and I want to say this because I keep saying it. I believe it's one of the assignments the Lord's given me. I don't know. It's not expressing itself fully right now. But I love the church, and I keep up with what's going on in the church. I need to. Whether it's a big ministry or churches no one ever has a clue about, I want to know what's going on. I like to see what the Lord's doing. And I spoke some a few weeks ago. There are people who are fainting, and fainting or falling away. There's an endurance aspect, endurance issue. And I believe in 2020 and even some into now, for the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ in America, it's probably been the hardest year it's been in a long time. For a lot of reasons. There are good, godly men and women of God who are just having a really awful time, and it breaks my heart to see that. And just the struggles of it. But in all of that, if we can say, you know what, Lord, maybe right now, because I'm taking this from individual to corporate, okay? Because the church is not just individual. It's not always, I always say this, you can't find your individual destiny apart from the corporate destiny. God's linked us together as a church. And in some respects, we've seen ourselves in a horrible pit. We're stuck in the miry clay, and we kind of wait and we wait. But I believe with all my heart that right now, and you know, we're seeing good godly men and women who, one of them was an apologist that I really respected, and you know, he passed on away, went to be with the Lord, and then all these things come to light of his life, and it's like, wow, what's going on, you know? And there's a lot of maybe even some of the celebrity culture we have, or the high esteem we place on certain individuals. God's humbling all of that. Yes. He is humbling. He has and He is. Yes. And that's for all of us. I believe He's humbling the body of Christ in our nation because we need it.
Yeah.
We have to have it.
Yeah.
There's a passage in Jeremiah. Don't turn there, but just listen. Jeremiah 48, verse 11 through 12. It says, Moab has been at ease from his youth. He's settled on the dregs, and he's not been emptied from vessel to vessel, nor has he gone into captivity. Therefore, his taste remains in him. Let me stop right there before I read the next verse. What he was speaking of, Moab, and there to purify wine, they would take it and pour it from vessel to vessel, because what was impure, you know, you can see it now when you do stuff. There's, the impurities will stay in when you pour it to the next vessel, and you pour it in. So he's saying here, Moab, their scents remained unchanged because they've never allowed the Lord to work in them. Okay? It says, therefore, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord. Therefore, I will send him wine workers who will tip him over and break it and empty his vessels and break his bottles. Why is he doing that? Because, hey, I believe that in the Church of America, Lord Jesus Christ, there has to be an emptying vessels and a breaking of the bottles. And there are some wine skins that are bursting. Jesus talked about that again in Luke chapter 5. And some of those things are, I think, they're necessary things and they're good things. You know, if as a father, if my kids, I'll use me as an example. If my dad had never disciplined me in certain ways and taught me certain things, I would have never known any better. I would have just kept going the way I was going. And when I grew up, I would be unprepared, ill-prepared to deal with the challenges of life, the expectations of life. And our Father is very similar with us. And there's times we don't think we need to be ruffled, or we don't need to see our Lord, I look to these guys instead of looking to you. Lord, I followed after these persons instead of following after you. And I do believe, I wrote this down, this is just clay. It's just me. And it's incomplete. There's three things. I think the Lord's raising up a church who is humility, boldness, and actually knowing Him. That He's the central aspect of it. And I looked at this a few weeks ago in Acts when they were persecuted. When they went in, they prayed for boldness. They didn't hide. They said, well, we want more boldness. I love seeing people's humility in the body of Christ. Can they be wrong? Can people show humility and grace? Can we allow that? Is that a good thing? I heard someone say this too. This is just, I'm just talking to you right now. When's the last time I prayed? And this is pointing lasers at me. And I prayed this way last night. Lord, I want to be more humble. Lord, I want to be more gracious. I want to have more love, more joy, more peace, more patience, more kindness, more goodness, more gentleness, more self-control. For me, when's the last time I've prayed that, where I want more of that in my life. I want more of you, Jesus, in my life. Because the world needs to see that. And if you, one thing Lauren Santo was talking about, and the church to be the church, and I'm not going to say everything I want to say, but I'll say this. And I want to say this about the wineskins, too. The purpose of a wineskin is that it holds wine. The life, or the joy, is what's in the wine. Okay? Some people, just going on a little bit of a rabbit trail, Some people don't care about the wine skins. They just care about the wine. There's nothing to hold it, so it spills over. Some of the most gifted people I know are the most free-spirited people I know. Their impact is very limited because they don't value a structure. Flip of that is this. My wife and I were talking about someone. They said, this person seems to just care about rules and structures, and they don't care about life. So then you dry up. The whole purpose of a wineskin is that it holds the wine, because the life's not, what's the Jesus King, John 10:10? There's abundant life. It's always growing. I'm not a wine drinker, but they say as it ages, it should get better. As believers do, we get better as we age. As our wineskin mold and shape that we have, the structure that we have, as it shape the growing nature of what God's doing in our hearts and lives, can it produce a new song within us? Can it produce the joy of the Holy Spirit within us that filters out and flows? Just like the first miracle that Jesus had. He waited till the wine that man made ran out until he did his thing. It was a wine from heaven. And that's what he's looking for today from us. And when I grew up in the church, we would talk some about, you know, that, and I believe this, you know, what happens when, and we had some of this actually, you know, in our last nations, our last administration. But when people in you know, governmental authority call, like they did in the Bible, for the people of God, what is God saying about this? What is God saying about that? What's God doing with this? What God's doing with that? And sometimes I wonder, would they do that today? And if they wouldn't, I wonder how much of that is us. And I look, Daniel influenced Nebuchadnezzar, who was a secular man. Joseph sought out, or Pharaoh sought out Joseph. We influence our world and the nations around us because we have a spirit of servanthood, and we carry, like Daniel had, a different spirit. It said Daniel had a different spirit. Lord, I want a different spirit. Lord, what you're doing in our individual lives, what you're doing in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ right now, maybe it won't look this. Maybe it looks the same outwardly, but inside it's going to be completely different in the days to come. I can promise you that in a good thing, because God's putting a new song within His church here and this one and corporate. There's a new song because we're going through what God's doing. He's adjusted me a lot in the last several months. Amen for that.
Yes.
I need it. Yeah. Lord, I'm going to get on my knees. You need to correct me with these things. I want that. I don't always like it. I get embarrassed before God sometimes. Lord, I feel embarrassed before you. Mm-hmm. But He loves me so much that He corrects me. And I'd rather Him correct me than someone find out something later in my life or something, or I go down a wrong path or something. I'm not doing that, but I don't want to. So I want Him to correct me now. So Lord, You're correcting us right now, and You're doing something with us, because in our lives individually, Lord, the miry clay, the difficultness it's producing, if we allow Him, a new song that's going to flow, a new song to Him. And I wrote this in the last name when I take communion, and you can do the song, Andrea. I put this, that people would see Jesus in our lives and our songs would speak to Him. There's a worship leader, I'm going to read his quote. I can't remember his name, his last name is Coley, an African-American brother, he's got dreadlocks, I can't remember his name. But he says, long after my name is forgotten, I want there to be a song in the earth that I sing that points people to Him alone. So what song are you singing? I'm going to read again. Long after my name is forgotten. That's a legacy. Long after my name is forgotten, I want there to be a song in the earth that I sing, be it my voice or my life, that points people to Him alone. So I read this, a new song that declares Him, a new trust in Him, a new reliance on Him, a new intimacy with Him. So I thank You, Lord, as we take communion. Zachariah, if you want to come, and Aaron, maybe you could help Zachariah and Evan as they pass these out, the elements. But my prayer for you individually, my prayer for us corporately, is that there would be a new song that comes within us in the midst of adversity. You can come up, Zachariah, as well, in challenges. I'm going to let them pass it out.